Honestly, it's a little strange for me from Israel spending Yom Ha'atzmaut in Chutz La'aretz. Nevertheless, having the opportunity being in different communities and giving shirim and talking about Torah Eretz Yisrael for sure brings and adds a lot to the add a lot to the importance of the day, so to speak. My hope is that everybody in Chutz La'aretz would feel that feeling of lack, of chosel in Hebrew, of that atmosphere that Medinat Yisrael has during this day. It's very interesting that from all dates, Yom Ha'atzmaut fell during Sfirat HaOmer. Almost like it's a teaser, I feel, to give another halachic argument. Oh, it's Sfira, yes or no, to add on the pile of the debate. But I think there was a great reason it fell. Meaning, I don't do cheshbon also v'akadosh baruch hu. That's pure historical reasons why it fell, why they declared on Hey Beyar. But nevertheless, I think there's something to be learned about it. And the main piece that I want to really focus on is about Rabbi Akiva himself. It fell during Sfira time, which is the days that we all know we're mourning the Ptira of the students of Rabbi Akiva for a certain reason. So part of this idea that I want to discuss today is also explaining or maybe understanding why from all times Yom Ha'atzmaut falls during Sfira, during the days we're mourning Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. That's first piece. The second question really to figure out, it's really connected one to another, is source one is a statement by Rabbi Akiva himself. And it's really a fascinating Mishnah. Most of the time when you learn Mishnayot Teharot, it's one of the most boring, right? Irrelevant to anything we do today. Sometimes it's mind-boggling to me when my kids in Israel come back and oh, we're learning this year Mishnah. What Mishnah? And Tarot. What? Why are you learning Tarot in like 7th or 8th grade? How is it going to even be interesting? But you know what I learned? And I learned it through trying to get my kids connected to these Mishnayot. And it's amazing. The mindset that you need to have learning these Mishnayot is the mindset of how Yerushalayim operated in Zman HaMikdash. Meaning we're so removed from it, so it's foreign to us. It's like strange. It's like things that we're not connecting to. But really all Mishnayot Teharot are describing how Kohanim lived in Yerushalayim and how the surroundings need to live. Now it becomes pretty intense. Can you imagine a Kohen was always walking in the street looking what he's stepping on? If there's a little bit of spit, he wouldn't know if now the taharot, the fruits and vegetables he's going to eat at home, could he eat it or not? It was like a whole, once you put those glasses, Mishnayot become taharot, a lot more interesting. Because you're living the life of the Kohanim of Yerushalayim. That's how you should learn Mishnayot taharot. Try it, you'll see. Still going to be sometimes bored, but I'm telling you, it makes it a lot more, the mindset is a lot more interesting. This Mishnah is actually a Mishnah dealing, supposedly, okay, trying to understand the historical situations. So this Mishnah is talking about supposedly a reality when the Kohanim wanted to hide their food in order that no one should touch it, because if anybody touches it, it becomes Safek Tameh or Vadai Tameh, and then they cannot eat their food. So the hiding places for their sandwiches, for their lunches, for whatever, used to be supposedly the library. Why? Because they were saying, Sifrei Kodesh are Kodesh. So if I put my food next to Sifrei Kodesh, no one's gonna touch it. That's gonna be safe, a safe place to hide my food. Clearly what happened as a result of that? As a result of that, mice and who knows what else, started infesting the entire libraries of Yerushalayim, or the you know. So what did Chachamim do? They declared a rabbinic decree saying that Sifrei HaKodesh mekabel tumah. Okay? In other words, once they did that, that moment, in seconds, the whole place was clean. Here, you know, we bring inspectors and we start this department, that department. Back in Yerushalayim, it's very simple. They said one word, Sifrei HaKodesh mekabel tumah. At that moment, the libraries became clean in seconds. And then they extended the decree, which I probably assume that maybe just saying Sifrei HaKodesh mekabel tumah wasn't enough to make sure people shouldn't follow that. They also said the hands touching it are mekabel tumah, to make it even more harif, even more severe, in order to make sure nobody wants to bring food near Sifrei HaKodesh. This is what you have over here in source one. It's a Mishnah in Masechet Yadayim in Perek Gimel. And the Mishnah says the following: Kol kitvei HaKodesh metamim et hayadayim. So the statement is, all Tanakh, all Sifrei HaKodesh, are basically mekabel tumah. They cause the hands to be tameh. And then it goes into an interesting conversation about Shir HaShirim and Kohelet. Two books written by Shlomo HaMelech. Okay? Two books written by Shlomo HaMelech, Shir HaShirim and Kohelet. Yes or no, are they under the category of Kitvei HaKodesh? So Shir HaShirim veKohelet metamim et hayadayim, that's Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda argues. He says, Shir HaShirim metameh et hayadayim, but Kohelet is a machloket. And then it continues here a whole conversation of what about Shir HaShirim and Kohelet? Yes, no, was there an argument? Wasn't there an argument? And if you look four lines down, suddenly Rabbi Akiva jumps up. Imagine they're sitting in the midrash. Rabbi Akiva, no, mekabel tumah, na mekabel tumah. And suddenly jumps up Rabbi Akiva and says, Chas v'shalom, lo nichlak adam Yisrael al Shir HaShirim shelo tetameh et hayadayim. Nobody argued about Shir HaShirim. She'ein kol ha'olam kulo kidai keyom shenita bo Shir HaShirim Yisrael shekol ktuvim kodesh v'Shir HaShirim kodesh kodeshim. Says Rabbi Akiva, chas v'shalom. That's a harsh statement. He hears people arguing, yes or no, is Shir HaShirim considered Kitvei HaKodesh? He jumps up and he says, in reference to Tumah, he jumps up and he screams, Chas v'shalom! And his end of the statement is taking even to more of an extreme. Now, I'll say something now over here that I could get in trouble a little bit. I don't know if that statement in the end, I tend to like doing such things, but here I'm recorded, so I'm afraid how to say it, but I'll say it not as harif maybe, but sometimes we tend to say things that as we get more extreme in our statements, so the end of the statement is a lot more extreme than the opening of the statement. So if he started chas v'shalom, he had to end on a high. So he says, Shir HaShirim Kodesh, Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kodeshim. In other words, he gives this unbelievable title to Shir HaShirim as if it's more than any of the other books. And really, if you see the end of his Mishnah, his brother-in-law comes and says, Amar Yocham ben Yoshua, Ben Chamim Shor Rabbi Akiva, maybe because they were Mishpacha, he was be able to say something like that. Chill, he says. Right? Kedivrei ben Azai, kach michleku v'kach gamru. Meaning, there was a machloket. They decided that Shir HaShirim is Kodesh. Rabbi Akiva, with all respect, for some reason you went off here on this. But that's not a fact. That's how the Mishnah ends. To me, this teaches that Rabbi Akiva had a certain obsession about Shir HaShirim for some reason. And we need to understand why. Why is he so obsessed with this type of Mishnah? So in order to understand this approach of Rabbi Akiva and this Mishnah, I would like to take this together with the opening question that I raised. Why Yom HaTzmud is falling during Sfira, during the time that Rabbi Akiva lost his 24,000 Talmidim? The truth of the matter is, when you look at Rabbi Akiva in several places, in Shas, Rabbi Akiva has a very unique approach that is hard to grasp. It's hard to understand what approach did Rabbi Akiva take. For example, one of the classic sources I like using, and I'm bringing it here in front of you, is a source where the Gemara describes that Moshe Rabbeinu comes back to see how Torah Shebaal Peh, how Talmud Torah looks. Okay? And suddenly looks back at him, and he doesn't understand a word. That's not a word. He looks back and he sees a whole Bet Midrash full of people learning, and someone's giving their shir, doesn't understand a word. So says the Gemara, Chalsha Da'atosho Moshe. Moshe like felt, what is going on? He asked, who's this Rabbi Akiva? Who's this person speaking there? They told him, this is Rabbi Akiva. And also the Gemara discusses, this is the Rabbi Akiva that in the end of his life, he had a horrible death, even though he created all what he created. So Moshe Chalsha Da'ato, he really felt horrible. Suddenly Rabbi Akiva said, on one of the questions, in the middle of this, even cheer, describing something, he said, Halakha Moshe Misinai, till here. I can't explain more. When Moshe heard that, the Gemara says, he calmed down, he relaxed, he understood. It's all coming back to this source. In other words, that piece of Gemara describes Rabbi Akiva, this brilliant scholar, this great Rosh Hashiva who's able to understand every little letter and in a way like that, that Moshe Rabbeinu sits there and says, I have no clue what this guy's talking about. That's a description of the Gemara. What I take from that Gemara is that Rabbi Akiva was considered among the Tanaim one of the greatest in terms of his ability, his analytical ability of understanding Torah. Nevertheless, I want to show you a Rambam, which is fascinating. The Rambam in Source 2 comes to explain what's going to be in times of Mashiach, or how would we know who's Mashiach, or anything like that. Okay? I already apologized to Chabad about this Rambam. So the Rambam over here says, in Milchot Melachim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Gimel, says the Rambam, Ve'al Yalel Da'atcha, don't even think for a moment, Sha'amelech HaMashiach Tzarich La'asot Otot U'moftim, don't think that Mashiach is going to have to make any type of miracles, U'mechadesh Dvarim Ba'olam, O'mechaye Meitim V'karetzev Dvarim Eilu, Ein HaDavar Kach, says the Rambam. Don't think for a moment that Mashiach is going to make miracles. It's not a Harry Potter movie. That's not what it's all about. Says the Rambam, and I'll prove it to you. How do I know that Mashiach is not going to be this, I don't know, wizard? Says the Rambam, here's my proof. Sha'arei Rabbi Akiva, Chacham Gadol Michachmei Mishnah Haya. Look at that. The Rambam is giving a title to Tana. That's fascinating. Okay, the Rambam is giving a title to a Tana. We don't find that too often. That someone later generation, the Rambam is already end of Geonim, Tchilat Rishonim. Okay, the Rambam is saying a statement, he's giving a title to a Tana. Chacham Gadol Michachmei Mishnaya, which means the Rambam with his knowledge going through everything decides to call Rabbi Akiva Chacham Gadol Michachmei Mishnah, one of the Gdolim of his period, of the Tanaim. Why is the Rambam saying that, other than the truth that he believes that's what the Rabbi Akiva was? He's coming to give the power of the next statement, what Rabbi Akiva did. Vehu haya nose keilav shel ben kuziva, bar kochva. Vehu haya omer alav shehu ha-melech ha-mashiach. Rabbi Akiva decided, or thought, believed, that Bar Kochva was Mashiach. So what did Rabbi Akiva do when he thought that? He carried his weapons. Now just think for a moment. Think here, one of your Rosh Yeshiva or whatever, with the long beard, everything, carrying the guns, the weapons, of whoever he thinks is going to be. And who was Bar Kochva? He was a warrior, chief of staff. He was running wars. That's what he was. And this great Chacham Gadol when he decided that he is Chachmei HaMishnah, yeah, when he decided that he is Melech HaMashiach, he decides to carry his weapon, to make a statement. Why is he carrying his weapons? Because Rabbi Akiva was actively engaged and involved in saying, if he's Mashiach, I believe he's Mashiach, I'm going to make sure that this works. So I'm going to get up, I'm going to walk out of my Bet Midrash, and I'm going to go carry his weapons. I'm going to put a gun on myself and I'm going to do it, even though it's not something that you would expect a Chacham Gadol b'Chachmei HaMishnah to do. Rabbi Akiva is extremely active. V'dimahu, says the Rambam, v'kol chachmei doro. He was the leader, Rabbi Akiva, but his whole generation, all the chachamim in Rabbi Akiva's generation, agreed shu hamelech hamashiach. Now, notice the haze the Rambam is putting in. The Rambam speaks many times that there could be different steps, but behei yediyah hamelech hamashiach. This is the real thing. That's the end of the process. With Heir Yediyah, HaMelech HaMashiach. They were convinced. In other words, it is legitimate to believe that somebody or something is the thing. It's okay. They did. One rule. Ad she'ne'erag ba'avonot. Till he died. Till he was killed. Kivan she'ne'erag, noda lahem she'eino. Once he died, it's over. It was a nice try, it's over. Ve'lo she'alu mimenu chachamim, in order to decide that he's HaMelech HaMashiach, they didn't request lo ot, lo mofet. That's the Rambam. Okay? What do we take from this Rambam? What we see from this Rambam is that Rabbi Akiva was extremely engaged in bringing redemption in that process. He wasn't just as huge as a scholar he was also extremely engaged in that. With these glasses of Rabbi Akiva, I want to take now and remember, we're trying to understand two things more in our days. Why is Yom HaTzmut falling in days of Sfira, Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, who died? And we're trying to understand Rabbi Akiva's extreme statement in the Mishnah about Shir HaShirim. With these glasses, I want to learn with you today something that it was really exciting for me over this last Pesach. This is a Gemara that I probably learned over 100 times. I probably taught it close to 60, 70 times. And over Pesach, suddenly, because of someone in Yeshivat Ramat Gan, that I'm giving him a lot of credit, I suddenly looked at it in a different angle. So I got very excited. I said, this Yom HaTzmaut, I'm going to teach this Gemara again with the new glasses that I saw. Can you imagine 100 times? I'm telling you, I'm not less than 100 times I learned this Gemara. It's like a fundamental Gemara any religious Zionist went through since you're 4 years old. That they teach you that before the Lech Lecha almost of Avraham. That's the first Gemara they teach a religious Zionist. It's Shloshet HaShavuot and Ketubot. Okay? Everybody knows it. Everybody deals with it. That Gemara has a lot of luck because the Satmar Rebbe wrote a book around it, so it became popular. Okay? That's how everybody knows Ketubot, Kuf Yud Aleph, Kuf Yud. Everybody's like, oh, yeah. Okay? But it's really mind-boggling when I got a different perspective on it. Look in the box in your first page over here. These are the three psukim that we have in Shir HaShirim. The first two, the one in Perek Bet Pasuk Zayin, and the one in Perek Gimel Pasuk Hey, are identical, word by word. Hishbati etchem b'not Yerushalayim b'tzva'ot o b'aylot asadeh. There's an oath that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Am Yisrael, im ta'iru ve'im to'reru et ahava ad she'techpatz. In other words, you cannot wake up this love between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu till time comes. What is the love? Assuming the love is Ahavat Hashem. We have two ways of having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have Yirat Hashem, as the Rambam describes, is Yirat HaRomimut, is Yirat HaOnesh, There's the era of fear because he's huge. As the Rambam says, when you look out and you see God and you say, oh my gosh, this is wow. And you have fear. Or there's irat ha'onesh, you're afraid of the punishment. But there's also a level of ahavat Hashem, which is much more complicated and harder. Says over here, Yishbati etchem not Yerushalayim, Shlomo HaMelech is telling us there's an ought that we cannot wake up that love. In Shir HaShirim Perek Gimel Pasuk 8, word by word, second time that it says that. And then in Perek Chet, it's similar with a little switch. Hishbati etchem not Yerushalayim, Matairu umatoru. The difference between Intairu to Matairu is Matairu is like, why are you even bothering? Don't even try till the time comes. Okay? Good. The Gemara now, the famous Gemara in Source 3, is the Gemara that I want to share with you, that I spoke about. Famous Gemara, Rabbi Zeira, had a great way dealing with a problem with the psak of his Rebbe. Rabbi Zeira, Havi kamishtamet minei de Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Zeira was trying to avoid Rav Yehuda. Why? The Baal HaMesak L'Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Zeira wanted to make Aliyah. Rav Yehuda, his Rebbe, was against. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda held, Kol HaOleh MiBavel L'Eretz Yisrael, Ovel Ba'aseh. Whoever leaves Bavel is violating Aseh in Yirmiyahu. Bavel HaYuvu, it's actually talking about the vessels. Bavel HaYuvu, V'Shamayu, Ad Yom Pokdi Otam Nu'um Hashem. The vessels, Klei HaMikdash, says Yirmiyahu, are going to stay in Bavel till God takes them out. You're not allowed to take it out on your own. So Zerah has a problem. He wants to leave. He has a Nefesh appointment in just a couple of hours. And Nebuch, his Rebbe, is telling him, you know how to do it. It's awesome. So what did he do? He avoided him. Okay? Mishtamet mine. Tried to hide to make sure that he gets to that trip without seeing Rav Yehuda on the way. Tosfot over there comments that this pasuk actually is speaking about by Drisha, not by Cheney. Tosfot answers, Mistama, it's referring also to the second one. Better question than answer, clearly. But if you go through the flow of the Gemara, doesn't matter, this pasuk is going to be rejected anyway pretty soon. Now the Gemara starts a conversation to figure out the opinions over here. Clearly, Rabbi Zeira wants to go. Rabbi Yehuda says no. It's not a conversation between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Yehuda. It's important for you to realize that. It's a conversation in the Gemara to understand what is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Zeira holding, each one over here. So let's see. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Zeira, how could you answer this pasuk, telling you clearly that once you hit Bavel, you cannot leave? By the way, why is Bavel so great? Says Rashi over there, Sheyesham Yeshivot, it has Yeshivot, it's the center of Torah. That's the reason Bavel got this status. Because it was the center of Torah, till today we have Talmud Bavli, that was the center of Torah. Answers Rabbi Zeira, Ahu Biklei Sharet Ktiv. What do you want from me? It's not talking about individuals. It's talking about vessels. Yirmiyahu saying, Klei HaMikdash cannot leave Bavel, not people. No, says the Gemara, makes sense. What will Rav Yehuda answer? Says the Gemara, Ktiv Krach Rina. There's another pasuk. That's the psukim I introduced to you from Shir HaShirim. Hishbati etchem bnot Yerushalayim bitzvaot o ba'elot asadeh. What is Rav Yehuda answering here? What is he saying? He's saying that this love that we have an oath not to do, this creation, waking up the love between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, happens when a person gets up on that plane and goes to Israel. That's what the reader's saying. That's a new look I have. All that he's saying is, he's saying, Rav Yehuda, I'm saying you cannot go because you're not allowed to waken up or enhance this love, this Ahavat Hashem, this love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. How do you enhance that love? By moving to Israel. By going to Eretz Yisrael. So if we have a Shvu'ah that you're not allowed to wake up that love, so you have to refrain from waking up that love. So you need to stay in Chutz La'aretz. Says the Gemara, how does Rabbi Zeira answer? The Rabbi Zeira, Hahu shelo yalu Yisrael b'choma, answers Rabbi Zeira, no, that pasuk is only, Rashi says, choma, wall, is yachad uveyav chazaka. When they go all together as a group with armed force, capturing the land, conquering the land, then that's when it's referring that there's going to be extra love. So what's the argument between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Yehuda according to this Gemara at this stage? What brings closer love between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rabbi Yehuda says, one person going, it wakes up, it's too intense, it wakes up the love between an individual. Therefore, if we have an oath that you're not allowed to go, a shvua that you're not allowed to go, you're not allowed to wake up the love, even one person can't go. You know what's fascinating from this piece? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, if we reject it, which clearly this is more midrashic and not an halachic gemara, but once you say this doesn't apply in our days, according to Rabbi Yehuda, one person going is enhancing the relation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Ahavat Hashem is becoming a lot more powerful and stronger. Davka Rabbi Yehuda said, don't go. He's the one that's telling you that every single one that gets over. Rabbi Zeira says, really? You want to have Ahavat Hashem? A strong Ahavat Hashem? That requires masses. That requires a whole plane of people getting up there. That requires war. Rabbi Yehuda says, one at a time, wakes up the Ahavat Hashem. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda, how do you answer? He says, I have another pasuk. Ishbati achrina, I showed you. Second pasuk. In Perek Gimel, there's another one. So that's for both. Nu and Rabbi Zeira, how do you answer that? Says Rabbi Zeira, Humi bailei leke Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, de'amal. Gimel shvuot alalu lama. There were three oaths. The first pasuk that I wrote to you, shalosh shvuot, three different places. Why do I have them? Achat shelo yalu Yisrael b'choma, like we said. V'achat sheishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Yisrael shelo imredu b'omot ha'olam. We're not allowed to rebel because every one of these steps, going together in the masses, rebelling against the nations in reference to having redemption and independence, these are all waking up this love between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'achat sheishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Ovdei HaKochavim shelo ishtabdu b'hem b'Yisrael yoter midai. Now you understand why the wording maybe is slightly different in the third pasuk, because the third one is not talking about the Jewish people, it's talking about the nations, that they're not allowed to torture Klal Yisrael yoter midai. My friend who opened his eyes to me a little bit from Yeshivat Ramat Gan, so he wants to claim over here, he said, it could be that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling the nations not to torture Am Yisrael too much, because what's going to happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will need to have mercy on us. The whole goal is not waking up the love. So if the nations torture us too much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to jump in. If he jumps in, he's going to start loving us more. And that's what we're trying to avoid. So to prevent that Avas Hashem that shouldn't exist between the two of us, we also need to make sure the nations are not going too crazy. That's how it was explained here. Okay. What do we see from this? We see from this that Shir HaShirim is speaking about love in reference to redemption. In reference to the Jewish people going back home. Rabbi Akiva carrying those weapons of Bar Kochma was all about that. When Rabbi Akiva screams Chas v'shalom about Shir HaShirim, and he uses harsh words because we're touching the essence of what Rabbi Akiva is all about. Rabbi Akiva is all about redemption. So when someone comes to even suggest that the book that is referring to redemption in the reference of Ahava, the whole love story of Shir HaShirim, is really all about coming back home, and that's what's waking up the love, Rabbi Akiva is going to scream, Chas v'shalom, how could that be? He right away puts a stop. Now we understand Rabbi Akiva's statement in the Mishnah, in source 1. We ask another question. Why is Yom HaTzmaut in the middle of Sfirat HaOmer, the days of the death of Rabbi Akiva? I think this is also very clear. It's very confusing. The Gemara says, why did the students of Rabbi Akiva die between Pesach and Atzeret? Shalom Agu Kavod Ze Bazeh. 24,000 students. What do you mean they didn't respect one another? Come on, what is this all about? We're talking about Talmid Rabbi Akiva, we're not talking about a bunch of, I don't know what. Talk about serious scholars. It's clear. When you have a Bet Midrash full of 24,000 students with a Rebbe that is really engaged, brilliant in all areas of Torah, including areas of practical redemption, each one takes a different piece. One sees Rabbi Akiva, the giant in Torah, one sees him in Halacha, one sees him as the rebel that goes out and pushes everybody to join the army and to do active stuff. Each one takes a different direction. You know, I almost felt this week when we got the shocking news about the Ptira of Rebaram, I right away thought about Rabbi Akiva, exactly that. It's an individual you can't possibly. He had Talmidim who loved his ability of the Mada element, of the brilliance, of for him Musar wasn't only through Mesilat Yesharim, it's through the world, through Harvard. There were others that just looked at it and said, come on, this cannot be real. And then there was the Reb Aaron of Iyun in a level that only Top Bris could really figure out and analyze. And then there was Reb Aaron the Chassid, and then there was Reb Aaron who wrote Zotorat HaHesder, explaining why every boy to become a Talmid Chacham should be also serving in the army. It's very hard. Which Reb Aaron are you connected to? Who could understand the Reb Aaron that has all of it in it? Rabbi Akiva. So this one says about him, this Tommy tells the other one, you don't get our Rebbe Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a Rosh Yeshiva. The other one says, no, Rabbi Akiva was this. Each one took a different part of Rabbi Akiva. Lo nagu kavod ze bezeh. That was the death. And Rabbi Akiva was able, but afterwards, to take five and rebuild this Torah. That's unbelievable. That's the second message of Rabbi Akiva. Having Yom HaTzmaut in the middle of Sfira is amazing, is unbelievable. It makes us wake up and realize that the Torah we lost in Europe was rebuilt in much larger scale. Those five Talmidim Rabbi Akiva had after the tremendous strategy was rebuilt since 48. The amount of Torah we have today, we did not have in the history of the Jewish people. The topics, very simple. Take the Bar Ilan CD and start looking at the type of tshuvas that exist 800 years ago and what exists in the last 70, 80 years since the establishment of the State of Israel. The Torah that becomes relevant to science, to day-to-day life, to running a country, didn't exist. The tshuvas we used to have were very nice, but were always pure Shabbos, Kashrus, whatever, Dinim, whatever we had. Look how Torah evolved, the depth of Torah. That's now. We're seeing it. It's happening. That's the Hava Rabbi Akiva is talking about. So in the middle of the days of Sfira, we suddenly have a break to realize that we're living that outcome of the five Talmidim. So we shouldn't have Simcha. We must have Simcha. This is the biggest tikkun to what happened then, having Yom Ha'atzmaut. That's exactly that. That's the essence of A. Thank God it's during Sfira. I want to end with a piece. Started late and I promised I'll finish at 11:30 because we have another program, but I want to show you a beautiful insight. Practical. I want to leave you with a practical way of life Rav Kook has for us in this generation. In source 4 over here, and languages of Rav Kook are hard for Israelis and for sure a lot more for people who Hebrew is not their mother tongue, but this piece I think is besedo, and I'll help you along. In source 4 over here says Rav Kook something fascinating. He says, a yachid prati, an individual, yachol lenatek et atzmo mimekor ha-chaim. Mekor ha-chaim is God, is Torah, is love of God. An individual could decide that he's throwing everything away. I'm not, I don't believe anymore. That's okay for an individual, says Rav Kook. Lo ken ha-uma Knesset Yisrael kula. As a nation, Klal Yisrael, they cannot. Al kol kinyanei shel ha-uma. All the different elements that we have as a nation, Shem Chavivim Aleha Mitzad Rucha Lumi, the nationality of the people, Kulam Ruach Elokim Shoraba, all elements that have elements of us as a nation, this is a fundamental Rav Kook approach to everything. Fundamental. Rav Kook, you should know, wrote in one of his letters, and it's proven. I sat in Shirim of Rosh Yeshiva, who know most Kol HaTorah Kula, who are teaching Rav Kook, who show us words Rav Kook are writing. Here it's a Gemara, here's a Zohar, here's a Kabbalah. He writes in his letter that anything he wrote was never made up. It's always either a Zohar, Gemara, Midrash, Safra, or Sifra. He always says that. Nothing made up. He says fundamentally, anything that we do as a nation, says Rav Kook, is always going to be connected to God. It cannot be disconnected from God. And he says what it is. Arza, the land. Sfata, the language. Toldata, the history. Minhagea. Minhagea, customs. What is he talking about, Minhagea? Standing in Sfira is not Chukot HaGoyim, says Rav Kook. It's a national element of the Jewish people. That becomes connected to God. Says Rav Kook, in one day, if suddenly there's going to be a time that people are going to wake up and say, all these things, these customs, these Yom HaAtzmaut. Just last night I read an article by somebody that I happen to know in Bnei Brak, a big like Haredi philosopher who's actually becoming a lot more connected to the Israeli world. So he writes, you know, you religious Zionists, you're missing out. Because you're in shul, saying your tefillot chagigiyot, during the time that I'm appreciating seeing the tekkes in Har Herzl. By the way, anybody growing up in Israel, you know that's your biggest, like, whatever. Always the little kids, or if the mother stays home and didn't go to shul, you're always jealous. They're watching the tekkes, and we're all in shul, you know, davening and tefillot chagigiyot. So he wrote the first time he writes this. He's totally Haredi. He says, I believe in Yom HaTzmaut, but I believe in a secular Yom HaTzmaut. Don't take it to shul. So you wrote. By the way, it's very interesting. You ever think about it? What does the Haredi world say about Yom HaTzmaut? Independence? What does God have to do with that? And what does the secular world say? Independence? What does God have to do with that? Ever think about it? They really agree fundamentally on the concept. The same way, by the way, that now think about this one. That's my friend also who opened my eye on this Gemara. Told me when you think about it, the Satmar Rebbe and Rav Tzvi Yehuda Koren Kuk fundamentally agreed. They both said that Zionism, redemption, is Ahava, is love of God. The Satmar Rebbe was against because he said there's a Shvua, and Rav Tzvi Yehuda said no, it doesn't apply in our day, so therefore it's okay. But they both agree fundamentally. All the people in between are oblivious to the reality we're living in. They're all different. But fundamentally, Satmar and Merkaz HaRav are in agreement. Just how to look at it. Says Rav Kook, no way it's disconnected from God. Everything. And then he jumps in line 4. Matzrichim atzadikei ador la'asot. What should we do? How should we relate to people who are saying this is a secular element? Don't bring God into the nationality of the state of Israel. To say we're anti-Zionist, this is shkutzi, this is bad, this is we cannot do. Ruach Hashem veruach Yisrael echadu. We can't speak against it. And here gives Rav Kook a practical step that I believe we're doing today. El Hashem tzichim la'avod avodah gdola. We all need to work hard. Legalot et ha'or ve'akodesh beruach ha'uma. We need to show how what looks secular is really deeply religious. The army, the state, the country. Et or Elokim shebetoch kol eile. What's going to happen when we do that? What's going to happen when there's a Hesder movement as Rabbi Aaron started and soldiers or religious are going to go shoulder to shoulder with their friends? What's going to happen? The secular is going to look at the guy and say, wait a minute, you're telling me that what I'm doing anyway is part of Yahadut? Oh, interesting. At shekol ha-machzikim be'otan ha-machshavot, says Rav Kook, all those who think that this is totally pure secular elements, in tzavut, that's a mimele, naturally, how will happen naturally? We just need to jump into the wagon and partner. We need to be in the army and we need to be in the workforce and we need to be in the streets. We need to be in government. We need to be in every area of the state, says Rav Kook. Doing the same thing, like everyone. Believing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Naturally, this is going to transform. Rabotai, this is happening today. Walk in the army bases. Walk in the streets. Before combat, I could give you hundreds of stories. Soldiers who didn't believe in anything are begging for tefillin, for Sefer Torah. They want to be connected. They want to understand that when they're going out to fight B'Shem Hashem. Truly. And that's happening because we're following what Rav Kook said. Don't fight it. Join it. The idea of Yom HaAtzma'ut to us is joining in. Zeh HaYom Asa Hashem. We are declaring. To us, it's a day of joy. It's a day of nationality. It's a day that we appreciate all those Israeli customs for Yom HaAtzma'ut. And we appreciate them as Zeh HaYom Asa Hashem. Chag Atzmaut Sameach.